Hi, I'm Hala. I'm a senior studying creative writing, and by now I've learned a lot about various aspects of the world of literature, including the texts I'm assigned for class, the kinds of writing I'm told are more valuable than others, and what to read to make myself a better writer. Sometimes, though, I wonder if some of these things are unfounded, like the idea that fantasy can't be highbrow literature. In order to explore these ideas, I'm sitting down with three of my friends, all of whom have varying degrees of involvement in the English world, to discuss our opinions and see if and how they intersect. Starting off, we're jumping into the high school literary canon. I'm Hala.
I'm Noah. I'm a junior and I study computer science.
I'm Danuj. I'm a senior and I study data science and ecology.
I'm Taylor. I'm also a senior and I'm studying I've studied vocal performance as well as language and cognition, and my minor is in creative writing.
So we have a good mix of like STEM and not STEM. So I wanted to talk about the literary canon mostly in high school, essentially like talking about the kind of books we had to read in classes and were they useful? Like, did you like them? And I wanted to talk about this because I went on Google and I looked up the most common like high school English books and I've read like two of them. Yeah. This list is an entire like typed page long and I've read like two. Yeah.
You didn't do the first three on that list?
The first three.
To Kill a Mockingbird, The Great Gatsby, and The Catcher in the Rye. I did all three of those in high school. Yeah.
I did The Catcher in the Rye and The Great Gatsby, and I think those were like the two books on the list I read.
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird was the best one.
I like To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's the thing. Everyone I know like has read To Kill a Mockingbird. I know nothing about it. So maybe, I mean, why do you guys think it's the best one?
How'd you learn about white saviors? I'm kidding.
I didn't. That's the problem. Well, I think that's actually the problem is I only read Catcher in the Rye.
That's
so,
a bad book.
Yeah, it's I'll a bad it. Book to only read, you know?
So, okay, I can comment on To Kill a Mockingbird. The reason I like that one is I think, especially when you're talking about, like, American public schools, you have a lot of racialized content because, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with slavery and just all of the racisms. And it can be, I think, challenging to find what sort of material you put into a high school environment because on one hand, you want to be very real and you want people to be educated on the correct and true history, but also like being a black student, it can be very, I am black. And as a black student, it can be very traumatic to constantly be thrown this literature that is like very racially demonizing and just like hard to read. And so we did To Kill a Mockingbird and we also did Kindred. And I hated reading Kindred because it was so intense.
Did you read Kindred as well?
We didn't read it. I had took an African American studies course. I'm white, by the way. but we did. That was something that she sort of had like a mini lecture on. It wasn't one of our texts, but she like discussed that in relation to one of her texts. Seems intense.
Yeah, reading Kindred as like a black woman at age, I must have been 15, turning 16, was like a little too much. But I think To Kill a Mockingbird, obviously these are different time periods, but To Kill a Mockingbird to me was a very good introduction to like racialized writing, dealing with Reconstruction era Southernness that wasn't like too much. Like I couldn't, it wasn't like Kindred, I would like come into discussions and just like sit there because I was like, I'm sad. And another book that was good was The Color of Water by, I want to say James McBride wrote that, which again, it dealt with someone who, well, James McBride himself, who had a Jewish mother, white Jewish mother, and a black father, and like mixed cultural identity and that sort of thing. And it was also just not as like graphic and intense as the stuff Kindred dealt with. Like Kindred was too much for my little heart to take. So that's why I like To Kill a Mockingbird.
I think like the beauty of To Kill a Mockingbird for me is especially like in high school, they'll give you like these 600, 700 page books and you're like, God, you know, like every time. To Kill a Mockingbird said like a lot with a little. Like it was just a story, but like when you really analyze it, it gave you a lot of time in class as students to like talk about it and look at things and explore that time period. And I think that was very valuable because it never felt like a chore to read it because it was short, but then you had a lot of time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wish I could say I read it, but I mean, I guess I still can, so I might do that.
No, it's too late.
Oh, I should say this list does not include any Shakespeare, which...
Oh, we did
tons of. There was a lot of Shakespeare.
I learned the Shakespeare.
I was okay with it. It wasn't my favorite.
I didn't like doing it necessarily every year. We did like one a year, I'm pretty sure, which was like a little too much.
I guess I always wondered what I was gaining from it.
Kind of agree. I don't know. Is that controversial?
No.
I don't know. Maybe it is, but like,
I just think it's,
at least
he
we're
made
on the same
plays
team.
For like the common folk now, and now it's like such like an impressive thing
to
be for Shakespeare when he was writing for like the general populace. Like it was just like what was popular.
Which probably means it wasn't like that respected in his time, you know, because people were like, oh, well, it's pop fiction, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. Was he on the Queen's Court or something? I feel like I watch movies. I'm not
I feel
that
like because his genre is mixed. Like, he wrote those, like, comedies.
Yeah.
And he wrote, like, historical epics and tragedies and stuff. Like, I don't know enough about Shakespeare. I enjoyed reading. We did Midsummer's Night Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Midsummer Night's Dream?
A Midsummer Night's Dream, yeah.
And I enjoyed that because it was funny. Yeah. I did not enjoy Dame Macbeth because it was not
tragic.
It's not even, like, sad. It's just annoying. Like, shut up.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It was a little bit annoying. I was kind of into Lady Macbeth, but other than that.
The reason I liked that unit when we did it, I think that was part of, like, AP 11, was because we got to watch all the movie versions. Like, we, like, did modern ones.
Mm.
That was fun.
I think the only movie version of anything I watched was Midsummer Night's Dream. I remember I read Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer Night's Dream, Macbeth. I don't know. That might actually be it.
Did you guys do Julius Caesar? I like that one. No. The drama. I don't know.
I've seen it.
There's just a lot of melodrama in it.
Our friend was in it.
Oh, yeah. That's
she
great.
Who is she? Brutus's wife?
She looked cute. I don't know.
She has a name. Oh, man. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Which two did you read?
So, what was, like, your... What classes were you taking? And that's why I'm confused. For the listeners, Hala and I and Anuj are all from the same school district. But I don't understand how she escaped some of these books.
I just didn't read them.
When I was in... So, I took regular...
She just signed them. And it was just like, no.
It's the school's fault that I skipped my homework.
I mean, but you went to Skyline, right?
Yeah.
And you guys went to Huron.
Danuj and Taylor went to a different school, so maybe that had something to do with it. I also, like, my school, at the time, I was like, yeah, it's a normal high school. And looking back, I'm like, oh, that was not a good high school. But anyway.
They have good acapella.
That's true. They have good acapella. That's what matters. I took regular 9th and 10th grade English, and I took AP 11, which is why I'm really baffled. That I haven't read
all
of these
do
things.
Yeah, you didn't Macbeth? Oh, I guess Macbeth's
well,
not on here.
I did Macbeth. It's just not on here, yeah.
I didn't realize, like, I thought that especially our English 9 class was a standardized class.
That's why I was so surprised, because I read, like, memoirs and just not this in 9th grade.
Yeah.
Except for The Catcher in the Rye, I think.
We did... I know we did speak in English 9.
I tested out of English 9. I'm a terrible course in
Ads. Oh, genius.
Good for you. I didn't even know you could do that.
I mean, was it up to the teachers? Maybe you just had a teacher that was like, we're not doing the usual.
I guess so.
I know that Lord of the Flies is super common. That's one I never...
I did that one.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, really? How come?
Again, I really enjoyed the books that were shorter, but were more like a commentary on society and stuff, because it just gave us a lot of things to talk about in class.
Mm-hmm. And you liked it too? Or did you not?
I thought it was okay. I thought the writing was very dense, but I don't think I'm like a huge bookworm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was super descriptive writing. Like, isn't it Golding that wrote that?
William
something
Golding.
I don't know.
I think William Golding.
Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, there's a lot of message packed in. Apparently there was also a religious allegory the whole time.
Oh,
and I was like, I'll believe you, Mrs. Mitchell, but I'm not seeing it.
That's the one where they're, like, on an island.
Yeah
they're
it's
stranded.
One of those, it's, like, one of those books that I hate, even though I've never read it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, Lord of the Flies, yeah, I hate that book.
Does not pass the Bechdel test.
Oh, great.
They're
old
just
boys, right?
Aren't women. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just read one of Bechdel's books. Did not know she was a raging lesbian. Super cool with it, you know, obviously.
I feel like I am
a lesbian, so I can say that.
I feel like I knew that because of Jane the Virgin. Maybe it's not explicitly mentioned. I don't know. Maybe just a lesbian brings it up in Jane the Virgin and I'm just terrible.
All you need to do is see a picture of her and it is immediately there. I've just never seen a picture of her.
So, Hayley, you didn't do Scarlet Letter in AP 11?
Oh, is that on there? I did do that, okay, actually.
Okay. I was like, what?
Okay, don't worry, guys. I got three.
Woo! I know about Scarlet Letter because of that Emma Stone movie, Easy A, but...
Excellent.
We never did it.
Scarlet, I can't remember a single thing. You know what? I'm noticing on this list, there are several, well, a few plays that aren't Shakespeare, but I don't think I ever did, like, a stage play in class that was not Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Which is weird, because I feel like...
Which ones are plays?
Death of a Salesman, that's a play, right?
Oh, I did.
Oh, that. I think you're right.
And The Crucible, because they're both Arthur Miller.
Oh, you're right, that is.
Wait, maybe I made that
up. Did you guys see 12 Angry Men? I feel like that's a common one.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, we went to like a really good movie.
It's a short play. It's a good play.
One book on here that I think I read outside of class but was really good is The True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. It was The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. But then I know people read it in class. And that book was just super cool because I think it was, a lot of these are like really old perspectives or like looks into like past lives. But that's like a very look into today's life of like people who grew up on reservations.
Does it have illustrations?
I don't remember.
I think I read it on my own time, too, but not in class.
It was one of those books that, like, I don't know if you guys got these. They're, like, I don't know if Scholastic did them, but they would, like, recommend books of the year for, like, every grade for, like, reading for fun. And I feel like that was always on there because, like, I can see the cover so clearly, but I've never read it.
And it is a very distinctive font.
Yeah, and I've never, like, title. Picked up the book. I just remember getting all those, like, newsletters and stuff.
It was nice. It just had, like, a different perspective. I was so used to hearing about, like, qualms of old rich people, you know? Like, hashtag Great Gatsby.
Yeah, Gatsby.
Yeah, Gatsby was what I like to call unrelatable. So, were these requirements, like, useful? It sounds like some of these books, or a lot of them, actually, you enjoyed them, and you thought, especially you, Danuj, like, you thought they made for, like, fruitful conversation in English classes.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's more... probably tailored to the person. I did enjoy like the smaller books that made us talk more about things that were more current. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I really enjoyed Animal Farm for that reason, but I know a lot of people hate Animal Farm for that reason. So the English was really good in some of the other bigger books. Like, I did enjoy Grapes of Wrath and like The Great Gatsby for that reason, but they haven't stuck with me the same way as like just the smaller ones that we just got to talk about more did.
I know my sister really liked Animal Farm. And she's communist now. I'm just kidding. She's not. But it would be relevant if
she's actually a literal pig now.
Oh, like, my
she
God.
She turned into a pig. That's crazy. Allegory.
That is haram and would be frowned upon in my family. But is there anything you guys wished was different?
At least in my experience, I thought... So I took humanities my senior year. And that book list was kind of... It had classics. Oh, it had Canterbury Tales and Beowulf. And... That was, like, I think the book list that taught me that, like, classics can have kind of, like, raunchy, fun material. You know, like, the first printed appearance of Kant. We learned about that. Oh, my God. And, like, you know, for, like, a senior in high school, you're still like, oh, okay, books can hang. Like, and I think, like, I wish that some of those were introed earlier. Obviously not that. I feel like... Obviously, they left that for the seniors for a reason, but stuff like, I thought Beowulf was really cool, and, like, I wish they had, like, taught, like, kind of gotten some of these more, like, I don't know, interesting, fun, and I feel like that book list was really set by, like, this teacher's kind of personality, but I don't know. I feel like standardized book lists, they're, like, good, but also you really lose that kind of, like, personal feel, and I remember liking that English teacher the best, and I think it's just because, like, between the requirements, he inserted a lot of, like, his own reading preferences. And so it was, like, reading is fun as opposed to, like, reading is something the state is mandating me to teach you. Like, and so I wish that had happened earlier because I, especially, like, English 9 and English 10, like, I really liked my teachers, but the book list was very, like, standardized. Everyone had read it. The curriculum was very, like, this unit, this unit, this unit, as opposed to more discussion-based. Like, I don't remember having tons of, like, good discussion until 11th and 12th grade. So I wish that had happened earlier. Yeah.
I think one thing that stands out to me is just the, and there's a lot of like chapter by chapter work in like high school, which I thought was like, it kind of took away like the fun of being able to look back at like half the story or the whole story. It'd be like, write a summary on this chapter and let's have a quiz on chapters 10 and 11. And it'd be like, oh, just let me read the rest of the book and then we can have a quiz. Something like that.
Yeah. I guess there's sort of merit in upholding the quote unquote classics. I mean, there's like the actual American classics, but also like these, I mean, you could call these the classics of high school English, and a lot of them, I think, serve their purpose. And that's well and good.
I want to say, whoever has to read Wuthering Heights.
Oof.
Hated that book.
Oh, God.
So terrible.
This is for the incoming high schooler. We apologize in advance.
So terrible.
I think the whole point of, like, high school English is just teaching kids the skill of, like, engaging with books and, like, learning how you can bring something to your own reading experience, which I'm definitely grateful for. I think in my experience there were things that they chose to censor and not censor. Like, in eighth grade, we read The Diary of Anne Frank, and, like, all of the pages where she discusses masturbation were, like, ripped out, just, like, straight ripped out of the book. And then the next year, we read To Kill a Mockingbird, and we were, like, reading it out loud. And the kid who was, like, reading this one part was like, Mrs. Mitchell, can I say, like, this word? It was the N-word. And Mrs. Mitchell was like, go for it. And
I'm
like,
I
think that's strange, like, what they choose to let kids be exposed to versus, like, not exposed to, because one's, like, super healthy and normal, and then the other one is a little bit hateful. I don't know. I think it's just about learning the skill of engaging with books and then, like, taking that out of the classroom is the ultimate goal.
Also, like, if they're trying to get kids to engage with texts, you think they would, like, throw in something that, like, kids are just gonna love, you know?
Yeah.
To try to, like, get that excitement, because I feel like it does teach you to, like, sit down, read something, and, like, actually discuss something that you weren't necessarily going to do yourself. But I feel like it would be helpful to, like, throw in something that's, like, fun. Like, I remember in sixth grade or fifth grade, it must have been elementary school, like, my teacher had, like, a mini, like, book club for Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and, like,
oh.
I mean, I showed up every meeting, reading's done, like, I was ready to talk. I mean, obviously, that's an extreme example, but, like, because I feel like your book list is, like, okay, we're gonna do Gatsby, Scarlet Letter, Catcher in the Rye, like, you may struggle with engaging with some of those materials back to back to back, but if you threw, like, I don't know, Percy Jackson 4 in the middle, yes,
yeah.
English class is lit.
I think our next podcast should be close readings of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. There are so many of those books now. While I'd love to see Diary of a Wimpy Kid featured in a 300 level literature course, there are definitely some other roadblocks to get through first. Just like any other branch of academia, English has its fair share of pretension. I've seen that manifested in the types of texts included on syllabi, which usually lack any mention of fantasy, sci-fi, mystery, or other genres that are often considered quote-unquote non-literary. Is it possible, though, that these genres have educational merit? I guess this is, I mean, again, Diary of a Wimpy Kid may be an extreme example, but since we're sort of talking about what could be considered and often is considered non-literary genres, so, like, I know graphic novel in some cases, like, especially comics, fantasy and sci-fi are big ones, and then mystery, romance, westerns, like, all these genres are just considered by, like, I guess academics or, like, higher levels just to be, like, not literary and not worth A, studying, and B, writing. My experience has been, like, in, like, pretty much every creative writing class I've ever taken, with the exception of one, we were encouraged not to write fantasy or sci-fi specifically, which I always, like, that always kind of grated on me. It kind of made sense in the beginning when we don't know how to write, but in the, like, when we're upper level, like, we're getting better at writing, why shouldn't we be able to experiment? But Danush, you have a thought?
I think just to clarify, this is, like, your classes in college.
Yes, yeah, these are college classes.
I'm a big fan of fantasy, sci-fi, and the fun. And I think, like, there's just the ability to create a non-fiction, like, fiction scenario in a fiction world that can be so different from the way we are today, and then explore that is something that's amazing. There's especially a lot of fantasy writers who I think do that very well, and create systems of government or magic, or even, like, looking at things in terms of different, like, races of creatures as opposed to just races of humans, will give you this perspective on society, for our society, that you maybe didn't have before. And some of their writing prose and cadences are really good.
I think that's a really good point, because even though it is a fantastical world, and a lot of the things that happen are impossible or at least improbable, like, at the core, because we are humans writing, like, they deal with human issues mm-hmm. that are applicable to real life.
I feel like you said, like, I mean, this is an educational environment. It's time for us to try things out. And, like, you know, you won't always have access to a teacher who can say, this didn't work. So it would be nice to do those things when someone can tell you it didn't work. And then what's weird to me is that fantasy and science fiction and a lot of genres are taken off of, like, reading lists as an option, because it's one thing to say, oh, writing this, you'd probably fail at short fiction. Like, writing science fiction, short fiction is hard. So, you know, you do bad. Okay, fair. But am I going to do bad reading it? That's what confuses me, because I read a lot of science fiction in my sci-fi and philosophy class, because that was, like, the topic. And so much of it is just so, like Danuj was saying, like, it's just so rich for discussion and very engaging. So I don't know. I don't understand the reason that, like, high school book lists and then a lot of, like, general college lit classes are kind of take fantasy off.
Mm-hmm.
I did take a contemporary fiction class that included fantastical works, which I really appreciated. And a lot of it is speculative fiction that deals with things people are concerned about, you know, in, like, the same way Animal Farm does, which Animal Farm is, like, sort of fantastical, I guess.
That's true.
Even with, like, books like Harry Potter and stuff, like, I think it is worth to look at those books and to, like, even just analyze from, like, a literary standpoint, like, how J.K. Rowling was able to, like, capture such a wide audience of people with this book, while other authors maybe don't do that. Or, like, how she was able to world build, or how she was able to draw in young audiences and why they like these books, that kind of thing. So, not necessarily, like, I don't think they always have to be judged on, like, wow, the writing is super, like, technical and great and, like, amazing. But also just in the fact that they capture huge audiences and they activate, like, these parts of minds that other parts of other books kind of won't.
I think there's merit in any genre that gets people reading, which I feel like is easy to argue against, but also, like, right now, I know so few people who still read in their free time that are our age, and, like, I know we, like, Taylor and I definitely, like, when we were younger, we were, like, voracious readers. I don't know if you guys were the same way, but mm-hmm. it's kind of sad that it's not, you know, I feel like I don't have the time anymore, or I don't, you know, in my free time, the last thing I want to do is read more. But I find with fantasy, I'm willing to read more. So I'm, you know, I'm okay with fantasy being my genre of choice. And I feel like that should be considered when you're thinking about the kind of writing we should praise or not praise.
I think, too, like, if you don't read a lot of fantasy, like, in fantasy, too, there's good writing and then there's writing that's not so good. And you can tell, like, you can read a book and be utterly enamored by the way the person writes it. And then you read a book and be like, why is this for adults? Like, this is not even for teens. So it's such a huge genre that it really has everything you could be trying to go for in there. Even if you did want to just read really greatly written pieces, there's a huge abundance of those.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons that at least people our age don't read for fun as much is because there is this sense of kind of, like, aging out of, like, the fun books. Like, yeah. You know, like, stuff like Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, whatever else. We would just read, like, Hale and I would tear through all these, like, trilogies that were, like The Hunger Games, but, like, not as fleshed out kind of, like, stories. And we would just, like, tear through them and, like, talk about them and really enjoy reading them. And I remember we used to read very socially. Like, we'd have sleepovers with two other girls and we would, like, read as, like, part of the sleepover. Oh, you would, like, sit there and, like, read together. Because I remember when I read The Mortal Instruments, I read almost the entire first book at sleepovers. And I would just, like, comment, and, like, half the people in the room had, like, read it and would be like, oh my god, I love that part. Like, so dreamy. And, like, half the people would be like, I can't wait to read it. And, like, there was such, like, a social element. And because those books, they're easy to read. They're very engaging. They're very fun. They're, like, similar to, like, the TV shows we watch, right? But then, I guess, like, when you get to a certain age, I mean, like, you get busy and stuff, but also I feel like you feel kind of, like, silly reading those. You feel like you've aged out. But if you read them, you'd probably just enjoy them as much. Like, I read so much middle grade and young adult fantasy and fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some stuff is, it's like just a framework of a story, but I still enjoy reading it. Because it's like what I love to do, and it like reminds me of my friends and stuff. So I feel like I wish people hadn't lost that feeling that like, I think people think if they read for fun, they have to read like, I don't know, a collection of essays about why the BuzzFeed CEO is failing at his job. I don't know, like something like relevant.
The important stuff.
Yeah, like some like weird, like modern work that's like grounded in realism or something. Or, but you don't have to read that. You can read anything, and it doesn't, I feel like people just feel like, oh, that's not like intelligent reading, or like you're not engaging with materials that are gonna like better you as a person. But like 100% of my personality has come from YA fantasy novels, and I'm great. So
that's interesting that you bring up the social aspect, though, because I recently had that same like revelation with video games. I have a Nintendo Switch, and I was just sort of feeling this lackluster feeling with video games recently, and I was like, I used to like love these as a kid. And I do think it's the social aspect. Like, I kind of forgot that when I was a child, like, well, my friends could come over every day and we could play video games. Because I think like the only thing better than having something that you really love is like being able to share it with people. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is another aspect, is because when you're reading these books in high school, like all of your peers are also reading the mm-hmm. same book, and it feels like you're sort of part of this community experience. Where if you're just reading alone, like some random book that you pick up from Barnes & Noble, maybe someone's read it, maybe not, but you can't share that with anyone. Like, it's just for you. And maybe some people like that because it's like intimate, but I don't know. I liked having other people like know what I was engaging with and being able to talk about it.
I've been rereading Harry Potter because we read Prisoner of Azkaban for a class, and then I was like, I gotta keep going. And I've really enjoyed just like yelling out things I'm thinking and having everyone in the room be like, oh yeah, I remember that part, as opposed to normally when I'm reading, I'm like, haha. People are like, what's funny? I'm like, no one's read this, so yeah. You don't understand.
I think I said this to you the other day. It must have been because I don't know anyone else who's reading Harry Potter right now, but it's incredible that a book / a series was so popular that an entire generation of people knows so much about it. It's not even just a generation. Like,
yeah.
I think it started with that, mm-hmm. but it has expanded beyond that. And I'm sure this is my bias, but like aside from school work, it seems like every series or book that is that way is fantasy.
Game of Thrones comes
yeah.
to mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Twilight.
I think people like the escapist
yeah.
aspect of it. It's just yeah. so different from like what they're living every day that it's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, it's different, but it's also like, so, those series that feel real, like the characters feel real yeah. and stuff. So like everyone loves to talk about like, how would you fit into this world? You know, like mm-hmm. tag yourself. Like
what Hogwarts house are
yeah.
you in?
Slytherin. Yeah. Slytherins, yeah. So. It means we're clever and hot. yeah, you know, like, just everyone loves, like, talk about the world and, like, what district would you live in the Hunger Games, which I never liked that question because I'm like, none, I hate this.
Yeah. What was it? Land called? Pandem?
Panem.
Panem. Yeah.
Isn't that an airline?
My middle school Hunger Games so. Stan, like, jumped out.
You're like, excuse me, district 12? 12. I wanted to be from one of the, like, rich districts where everyone, like, watched the Hunger Games,
like,
you know?
Like, district 1.
You would yeah. be from one of those.
Yeah.
Districts.
No, I feel like not, like, 1, but, like, 3. Imagine. I would know someone who knows someone who, like, volunteered to be in the Hunger Games. And I'd be like, good for them. Like,
yeah.
Awesome. I'll admit it, I suck.
Definitely think like some of the most popular books of today are books that wouldn't really fall into this like great little literary classic. Like I'm thinking, if you're thinking like romance, there's mm-hmm. like Where the Crawdad Sings that sells one, or like action, you got like American Assassin, Jack Reacher. You got a lot of crime books that are out there. True crime is huge in the book community, and then
that's true. Actually, true crime is like really escalating.
I do love true crime.
I yeah. mean, in general, true crime I'm sure is escalating in the real world, but I meant like work about it.
Yeah.
People wanting to consume
well,
a pandemic.
There's like so many podcasts about
yeah.
true crime and
yeah.
docuseries.
One, I was gonna say BuzzFeed Unsolved. Let's do a collab.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of content on YouTube. Like I mm-hmm. watched this YouTuber named Kendall Ray. She has a podcast. Hey Kendall, I'm sure you're listening. But she like she really built her whole channel around like true crime, mm-hmm. and then also like paranormal things a little bit, but like it was mostly like
she would talk about a case from like start to finish. And it's just so interesting. Like, is our platforms like YouTube replacing books in a way? In that sense, like, you're sort of, it's like a shortcut to human connection almost, rather than like a book which has this whole arc.
Romance, true crime, paranormal stuff, fantasy is almost in, like, in our society kind of gets classed as like kind of like a waste of time.
Yeah.
And but these books are the ones that people engage with the most. Like, maybe the writing's not the best, I keep saying this, but like those books are great. They capture huge audiences.
And if you look at like authors who have consistently been bestsellers, like one of them is James Patterson, and like famously when I was talking about framework novels, like, I was thinking, like, did you guys ever read Witch and Wizard by James Patterson, or like Daniel X, or the Angel series?
Maximum Ride.
Yeah, Maximum Ride. Yeah,
Maximum Ride. I was like, no,
grinds my gears.
Maximum Ride was like, I was obsessed. And, like, reading that book again, I'm like, is this English? Like, there are parts that are, like, so... I'm like, what happened? In, like, book four, he's just like, oh, everything was fake. And, like, I don't even know what book it was. He was just like, new plot. This. New plot. You know, he writes so many different genres, and a lot of them are, like, these, like, kind of action-y, like, mystery stuff. Like, my grandma was obsessed with his books, and it's like, I'm kind of snooty, and I'm like, I don't think he's, like, I don't think those are well-written books, but obviously people love them because they're just, like, fun and accessible, and, like, it's funny that, like, the bestseller list is always, like, books that are just super popular, and then, like, books that are, like, popular because they've been hailed as, like, these, like, amazing achievements.
Yeah.
But, bro, like, you're in the same category. Like, you're tying with James Patterson. Like, so it's so interesting, yeah, that we kind of have these, like, feelings of, like, oh, yeah, like, that's a trash genre, but those are the genres that sell well and that people like.
On the radio, if you ever hear, like, book recommendations, they're always for, like, these very well-written books or these very quaint stories that are told super well. But, like, I'll never hear a book recommendation for, like, a James Patterson, even if it's chilling there at, like, second place on that popularity list or something. Yeah.
Which, James, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're highly accomplished. Good for you.
No, like, man, you did that. I'm just saying.
When is this dropping on Spotify?
I just have questions about the Maximum Ride series. That James, you were my childhood. Don't even fret. I love you. But I have questions. Very creative. Like, all of his plots.
That's true. They're very creative.
He just seems to just write a lot. I haven't read him extensively, but from an outsider's perspective, I'm like, it seems like he really goes for quantity over quality. Yeah, like, I just see his name.
He's
like,
very prolific in that way.
Yeah.
James, correct me if I'm wrong. You're just trying to get the stories out there. Like, we don't have time to do poetic writings every chapter, okay? We're just trying to get the stories told, get the characters on the page.
You're like a journalist, you know? And get the people their facts.
Get it now. And again, Maximum Ride, I literally was obsessed. We have no right to be trying to step on James Patterson's name.
That's so crazy because I actually brought him here. Hey, James.
Would you like to respond to these accusations?
It just turns into a debate.
It's funny because people say similar things about R.L. Stein, but I will not, like, no. Sorry, that's my dude. Like, come at me, like.
Who is Goosebumps?
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Goosebumps is highbrow literature.
Yeah. No. Don't
it scared
even.
Scared the crap out of me as a child. Like, they really scared me.
Did you read his series? Because he was like, you know, he's like a horror writer.
Yeah.
Also a quote unquote non-literary genre.
But again, like, who didn't freaking love Goosebumps? I mean, some people hated it because it was scary, but
yeah.
He wrote like the Fear Street, and it wasn't like for kids. It was like maybe for teens. There's a scene where like a woman like bites off a rat's head. And, like, drinks its blood to survive because she's stowing away on a ship with her baby. And, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you cannot. That right there was the most vividly written piece of fiction. Don't put disrespect on his name.
Mr. Stein, are you okay?
He knew childhood fears so well. Mm-hmm. Like, the fear of just, like, your parent not being your parent. I was like, oh, the fuck.
Scory. I just want to pass around this pie chart I printed off earlier. It's basically a chart of, like, the total books, I think, sold, like, in the last year or something in 2017. And this is from Published to Death, which is a blog. Basically, the important thing is, like, modern literary fiction made up 16% of the total books sold, and fantasy fiction made 13%, and mystery made 11%, which, combining those two, is more than the modern literary fiction. I just want to put that out there, you know, like maybe there is some merit to this. And also this pie chart doesn't have sci-fi or romance, which I thought was an interesting choice, but I can't win them all.
Thought like an interesting parallel while we're looking at that is how like some people, like Martin Scorsese, said like the Avengers or whatever is like not cinema, but then like The Godfather something would be cinema, right? And then so I guess similar in books, like our fantasy, mystery, all these other genres maybe are not considered good literature, but then these classics are considered good literature. Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like, I feel like this runs through like kind of every art form you can ingest, but like popularity often is a bad thing in people's mind. Like, yeah. Oh, it's just popular. It's not good. You know, kind of like.
Yeah. Which goes back to Shakespeare. He was like popular theater. Yeah. But, I mean, his works were popular theater, and look how like they are so prized in education now.
But I'm sure there's people like during this time who are like, I don't like Shakespeare. Like, everyone likes Shakespeare. Okay, you're cool. Like, kind of like that attitude, which is like weird. Like, who decided that? Who decided that like popularity was like not what we're going by, and then what are we going by? Like, I love looking at movie reviews, you know, like when you Google it and it like pops up on the side, because it shows you like the Metacritic and the Rotten Tomatoes and then how many, the percentage of Google users that like the film, and it's always like 40% on Metacritic, like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, 100% of Google users like this movie. Like, and I think that's so interesting to look at and just be like, I don't know, I feel like when you're engaging with art for fun, you're not necessarily critically thinking. You're like, did I enjoy this? Mm-hmm. Yes. Cool. Moving right along.
I mean, I guess I kind of get that in an educational setting for class or whatever, you want to focus on writing something that's not just going to be popular, but like says something, or reading something that does that. But as a creative writing major, the majority of us, when we graduate, if we're going to be writing, like, we can't afford to just like write something that makes a statement and hope that it becomes part of some kind of literary canon. The goal is to write something that a lot of people will consume so that you can make enough money to survive off of it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that should be something we're learning how to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure because so many people engage with like, say, Harry Potter for some reason, there are probably people who took real life lessons out of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like lessons you can pull from those books.
Like Bellatrix on Taking Initiative, when she offered to kill Harry for Voldemort.
Oh my
exactly.
God. For the listeners, there was like, it was like a Pop Sugar article or like one of those things that's just like top 30 quotes, you know, whatever. It was on Facebook. But it was like 30 quotes from like badass witches or whatever to like help you through the day. I don't know, something like that. And one of them was like Bellatrix Lestrange on Taking Initiative. And it was like the scene where she's like offering to kill Harry for Voldemort. And I was like, what? They're like, yeah.
Badass witch, you get it, girl.
Like, take initiative. And I was like, all right. Yeah, you could learn lessons from Harry Potter. Yeah,
I think like when you engage with material, you're more likely to look into it more. And sometimes reading these books in high school, like, boy, did not engage. I just kind of went from page to page and said, let's hope I get through these chapter quizzes in time.
Let's roll.
It's not often that we get to pick the texts we read for classes. Obviously, that can sometimes make it hard for us to engage with those texts, just like in Danuja's case. In our free time, however, we have the chance to read whatever we want. Now, I know a lot of college students don't spend their free time reading. I know it's sometimes the last thing I want to do after laboring through 4 homework readings in one day. But when we've got the energy to read for fun, this is what my friends and I enjoy most. So, just this last little segment, I just wanted to know what you guys like to read in your free time. I mean, I could maybe guess based on some things we've talked about here. Oh, yeah.
Just so I can just talk about James.
I love you. Maximum Ride, Maximum Ride, and Maximum Ride.
Yeah.
I know, Noah, you recommended Little Fires Everywhere to me, which is being made into a TV show.
I know, the first 3 episodes are streaming on Hulu. Oh! As this is being recorded. Yeah, I guess I'm not, I don't know, I kind of do stick to I tend to stick within contemporary literary fiction. I feel like most of the books that we've talked about are just contemporary fiction.
No, I think I'm definitely, like, exploring a lot now that I listen to audiobooks so much, so I've definitely hit,
Audible
like,
sponsor?
Mystery genres, like, I've hit some, like, old classics, but fantasy will always be, like, that one special place in my heart. but good fantasy, because I listen to so much fantasy now that I can tell when some things are going to happen. I don't like that.
Yeah, you have to sift through the bad.
Yeah.
I just read In the Dream House, and it's a memoir, but it's like, I mean, memoir, obviously memoir, like every author is going to have a different story to tell, but like, I feel like there's only so much you can do with like varying the structure or whatever. Well, In the Dream House does it, and it's incredible. I just love the way like it combines like second person with small sections. There's not like chapters. It's just like, how do I even describe it? Just read it. It's incredible. But in my free time, like I like memoirs, but yeah, it's mostly fantasy for me.
I read a lot of different things. My favorite genre that I read when I just like want to feel happy is definitely middle grade fantasy. Middle grade fiction. I have like a book of like science fiction and short fantasy, and I love those because like it's really developed but also like the perfect length for my attention span.
Short sci-fi is like god tier literature.
So good. And that's the stuff I like stay up at night like thinking about. I'm like, oh my god. Also, picture books pop off.
Maybe we should all just get into picture books.
After that, our conversation devolved into a comparison of the picture books of our childhoods. Fruitful and engaging, but maybe not for this podcast. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. This has been a discussion of the English world, including our experiences with the high school literary canon, our take on non-literary genres, and what we like to read most in our free time to give you some ideas of what kind of books to dive into if you're looking for a recommendation. Also, James Patterson, if you're listening, we're sorry and we love you.